fantasy.
For Dummies.
Hold up. This is the part where we are going to tell you that there are spoilers, cursing, potentially triggering situations, and spiciness of all levels. Don't say you weren't warned. All right, carry on.
All right. Welcome back to Fantasy for Dummies, Season 1, Episode
4.
Iron Flame Part 2.
Iron Flame Part 2.
We've been trying to record this now for about a week.
Easy. Easily.
At minimum. We have a special guest today, in case you hear him stalking around.
Pitter-patter of his paws. Go lay down.
The Samps. Doesn't know what to do with us.
He really wants to be part of the pod.
It just so happens that we're recording this the day before Onyx Storm drops.
Yeah, it'll be out in like 11 hours. It's coming out soon. By the time you're listening to this, you'll have already read it.
Yeah, by the time you're listening to this, you will have already consumed the entire book. So, better late than never, I guess.
I think it's going to be good.
I hope so. There are so many wild theories online. I don't think my heart could handle most of them.
Have you seen any spoilers? Apparently, people are posting spoilers everywhere.
I have not seen any spoilers, but I have seen a few conspiracy theories that, if are true...
That Zayden's going to be bad?
I think Zayden will be bad for a little while, but I think he'll come around eventually.
By the end of this book?
I don't know. We've got two more books after this one.
Do you read the last page of every book before you read it?
No.
Oh.
Do you?
Yes.
Intriguing.
Or like the last sentence. And then also I usually flip, like while I'm reading, I like flip and just like randomly read other sentences throughout it.
Is that how you've gotten through? Well, no, you did Throne of Glass, that whole series.
I don't like skip to it, but like as I'm reading, I'll just like pick like a random page and just like pick a sentence and read it.
As you're reading the new book?
Yeah, as I'm reading the book for the first time.
Interesting. Yeah, no, I definitely don't do that.
I don't read, like, more in the sentence, but, like, I just, like, sometimes you find out interesting things, sometimes you don't. I don't know.
When I picked up Fourth Wing, I knew nothing about it. I didn't know anything about...
Didn't someone give it to you?
No. It came up on my Goodreads randomly.
Okay.
And I didn't know anything about it. I didn't know this, like, phenomenon behind it. And so I was finishing up Fourth Wing, and I was like, oh, what's the second one's name? And with that, I Googled the name. I said, what's the second Fourth Wing book? And with that in the, like, the Google AI.
Oh, yeah.
It's like Iron Flame opens with Violet's thought to be deceased brother before I had even gotten to the ends.
Ooh.
I spoiled it for myself.
Yeah. Well, AI spoiled it for you, which is why AI is the scariest. The thing we should all be most afraid of as a collective society.
I feel like maybe this isn't the podcast for that conversation, but noted. There. AI ruined it for me. Have you picked anything else up? Did you finish the Crescent City book?
I finished the second Crescent City book. I think I started it right after we recorded the last one, and I spent the first 80 pages very confused about life.
Very upset.
Very upset about how confused I was. And then I loved it. I super duper loved it. And then the second one took me like a very long time to read, and I just finished it yesterday. Onyx Storm comes out in 24 hours. What are you going to do here?
And what conclusion did you come to?
I started reading the third one.
Okay.
Which is very long.
Yeah.
It's like...
I watched Rose unravel with that one.
What's really funny is that everyone, and by everyone I mean people on Book Talk and Bookstagram, people who talk about books, people shit all over that this third book, and I'm like, I don't understand why we're shitting on this. It's excellent. I mean, I'm only like 250 pages in.
It's like 1,000 pages, right?
I think it's like 850. Do you think I could finish it today before Onyx Storm? Do you think I could finish it today and then roll right into Onyx Storm like at midnight? I'm annoyed that people shit all over this book. I'm annoyed that people shit all over the second book. I'm annoyed because I don't understand. Subjective. Taste is subjective, but...
Really grinds your gears that people put this book down.
Right. Right, and we're all going to wait up till midnight to read Onyx Storm.
I do enjoy that even with your annoyance about Onyx Storm, you still say the collective we as though you will be up at midnight reading it.
I don't think I'm going to be up at midnight reading it. I think I'll probably wake up at like 4 or 5 though and try to read as much as I can before I have to start work. I don't know what's going to happen to Crescent City. I'm going to read it. If I have to stop in the middle, I'll stop in the middle. It's fine. I think my Kindle says I have like 10 hours left of reading, which is doable. I also try to beat my Kindle.
Eileen's a very competitive person.
Which is the only reason I want to read Onyx Storm fast is because there's going to be all these other people online who finish it. And I want to finish it before them.
Australia, people in Australia got it already and they're already done with it. So you lost. Yeah. If that gives you any...
No, I'm not competing internationally. It wouldn't be fair. It's domestic. This silent competition in my head is domestic only.
Got it. Okay. Do you think people in California get it
3 hours earlier?
Do you think that their release party is going to be at 9 p.m.?
I think that their release party is going to be at midnight.
Right. Which is what time here?
3 a.m.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's 3 hours.
Oh, yes. Their midnight release party will be 3 hours after us. Their time's 3 hours before us. They're behind us. Behind us. Behind. We're before. Behind. My queue is
jam-packed. Keeps growing.
Mine too.
So.
And I'm upset at how long it took me to read the second Crescent City because it screwed up my flow.
Well, I'm struggling. I'm still on the same book about the Irish Druid because it's hard for me to get through. It's very conversational. Like, it's written very wordy. So, like, he writes the way he thinks, if that makes sense. So you're getting like every little offshoot thought.
So it's a series.
It's a series, yeah.
Got it.
I love the concept of it. Like, I love him as a character. He's got like a dog sidekick that I love.
I do always Google, the spoiler I will always Google is if there is a pet or a dog or any type of animal companion, I need to know if that animal companion is going to die.
Ooh, I should find out.
Because that would be a hard stop for me.
So I'm still on that same book because I just, like, I can only get through,
how many pages is it?
It's not many. I'm further than I think. And then I throw in the third ACOTAR book whenever I'm, like, working or ventilating.
I've been listening to that on the infamous dramatized audiobook.
The third one?
Oh no, I'm sorry, the second one. Because we're gonna do it. So I'm like, oh, let me listen to this dramatized audiobook. And Feyre
is so annoying.
As a character like that is even more annoying. And I don't even hate her. But the hearing her like that I wish I hadn't done this.
I would have.
But I could put it on, you know, like when I'm walking the dog or whatever, but
I can't zone out too much because so much happens so fast in those books that, like, if I'm not listening to it for the... Like, if I wasn't listening to it for the first time, then I could.
Yes. Because
I knew what was going on.
Right.
But for the first time...
I put Throne of Glass on as, like... The same way I have Friends on. I could do anything with Friends playing in the background. I could do anything with Throne of Glass playing in the background. I could move mountains with Throne of Glass playing in the background.
Absolutely done with you.
I know. I'll think about it every day for the rest of my life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're not the first person to say that,
mm-hmm.
which is interesting.
Because
I tried listening to it, and I just couldn't get into it.
Okay, don't annoy me.
Too late.
Mm.
All right, ready to get into this?
I'm ready to get into it.
You ready? Let's do it.
I'm ready to get into it. Yes, I'm ready to get into it. So we leave off, the end of part one leaves off basically with everyone in the school finding out the truth and getting to make their decision. So now we jump into part two. And part two starts with a good old-fashioned boning from Violet and Zayden. That's where we wake up. And they're back together. And maybe they're not going to be annoying, but that's unlikely.
That's the hope.
That's the hope.
It is not the reality.
Correct. And we have the assembly who's there, the board of the revolution, and they're all pretty pissed off that we have arrived to their super secret spy headquarters with a bunch of children in tow. What's so funny?
I'm picturing Wolf of Wall Street when you say the board of the revolution.
Right. That movie is so top tier. That has to be one of the most quotable movies You could watch it 500 times and still
find something.
Laugh. Yeah. But yeah, and Zayden is kind of like, hey, this is my house, and I brought the kids here, like it or don't like it. His house, full of his chairs, full of his woman, you know what I mean? Like, he's laying it down.
I hate you so much.
And then we also find out that Andarna is awake. So Violet rushes over there to see her. And unfortunately, one of her wings is real jacked up.
Yeah.
It's like not fully formed. Is that what it is? It's like...
It doesn't like open fully.
Right.
So she can fly, but Taryn pretty much is like, yeah, you'll never be able to ride her.
Right. She'll never be able to hold a rider. And it's because of all of her sleep interruptions that she's had and the amount of energy she's had to use helping other people. So that's
Try not to sound so annoyed, okay?
That's a
I can't edit that out.
It's a sad moment for our girl Andarna, not that it's anyone's fault.
I don't think they tell her.
No.
They don't tell her that she's never going to be able to hold a rider.
Right. And
they, like, keep it on the DL.
Right. And she's stomping around with her little attitude, like...
God, I can't... Being saucy. I kind of can't wait for Onyx Storm just to see Andarna again.
I know, but I hope it's not like... Like, baby Groot was such a moment, and then teenager Groot wasn't such a moment. And I just hope that we get more of that moment for her, that, like, spicy moment. Because once she is a grown-up, we lose that whole personality trait.
Although Taryn Although is these pretty books, salty.
These so. Books take place, like, 5 minutes apart from each other. There's no time lapse, as we know, because we read the first four chapters.
Taryn is still pretty...
Yes.
Like...
Yeah. This entire storyline takes place in, like, the span of... A year and a half.
Yeah.
Yeah. We pick up Onyx Storm the day after the last page of the last book. The chapters roll right in. There's no time lapse. Yeah, they don't tell Andarna, and they let her kind of just keep fluttering around being a menace. Anything else on that point? I feel like you were going to say something else, and then we got off onto the tangent about the timeline
of Onyx Storm. Just not telling her.
Right. They set up Zayden's house kind of as like a makeshift school. They pull together classes and they're trying to give like a sense of structure to all of these kids that have shown up. And there's also professors that defected with them as well. Zayden has also... We also find out that Zayden, in a savage move, has been dropping dead wyvern off like all over the land so people know that they exist. Like, yes. That's his like... That's his attempt at trying to spread the truth, which is such a savage move. So the other military bases figure it out, but that knowledge doesn't really make its way into the general public.
Right.
Mira shows up. So we have Mira rolling up, and everyone kind of thinks that her and her crew are coming as an attack on this makeshift school base, whatever we want to call it. But... We find out, you know, they're like, whoa, calm down. Let's see what she has to say. And we find out that Violet's mom, their mom, actually told her the truth about what happened after Zayden dropped off a dead wyvern. And told her, make your own decision. This is what's going on. And she comes to help as well. Mira and Brennan finally are back together here. And we think it's going to be this, like, super sweet emotional reunion. It's like, oh, my dead brother... Yada, yada, yada. Hugs, kisses.
I never once thought it was going to be like that.
She punches him in the face. She breaks the shit out of his nose.
Yeah.
Yeah. She is...
Pissed.
Real pissed.
She is so mad.
She's so mad.
She's so, rightfully so.
Right. Right. So, yeah. She bloodies up his nose pretty good. But the thing that brings Brennan and Mira together are that none of them want to keep watching Violet make out with Zayden.
Fair enough.
As a sibling collective, they're like...
Slow your roll. Dude.
Major ick. They're majorly icked out by all the PDA. So, in a very cringy and Violet-like move, Violet is like, hang on, guys. I know how to raise the wards. I've totally got this. I have it all figured out. And the assembly, like the older crowd, is kind of like, do you? We don't have a lot of faith in you. And she's like, no, no, no. Everyone follow me. And... Everyone does, and she leads this ragtag group.
It is so cringe.
It's cringe.
It's way more cringe when you say it like that, but it is. It's so cringy.
So she leads this entire group, and this anticlimactic moment where she's like, we just need blood from the 6 most powerful riders here. And she makes everyone slice their hands open and drop their blood on the stone. And dun, dun, dun. Nothing happens.
Like, nothing happens.
And the assembly is pretty smug because...
Rightfully so.
Rightfully so. And God bless Zayden because he's like, don't worry, babe. You tried your best. Like, you're totally going to figure this out. You can do it. And I'm like, can she? I'm not really sure, but that's okay. We also have Felix, who's one of the assembly members, who is going to bless his heart, take on Violet's lightning-wielding training.
Yes. Someone needs to.
Someone needs to do it. And this guy draws the short straw, and he's like, all right, let's go. And he just takes her into the wilderness where she can't unalive anyone with her inability to aim the lightning anything that comes out of her fingers. And he starts trying his best. She still sucks. He's not impressed. But as a real quick band-aid before she could figure this out, he gives her like an orb that basically can siphon her power and mitigate it, if that makes sense. It absorbs it and then helps her...
helps her aim.
Right. Right.
There was a funny moment where he was like, you've gotten no training at all? She's like, well, Varish made me do it 100 times. And he goes, that's not helpful.
Right. Quantity over quality.
He was like, no one ever taught you, like, any control? And she goes, nope.
No. Yeah, just absolutely not. Absolutely not. So now we go back to, if you remember from the last part of this book, there is a guy who has a luminary who has been dying to meet Violet. And he could give them this luminary in exchange for Violet going and showing off her power that she has no control over. And Violet...
He's got a creepy name, right?
Viscount Karras.
Yes.
I don't know if Viscount is a title or a name.
Oh. Huh. Because if it was Count, is that Countess?
Right. Is Viscount a title?
Is Viscount... Well, isn't a bear a count... Intriguing.
Regardless, he has what they need to make the weapons that kill the Venon.
Yes.
He wants to meet Violet. Zayden has put his foot down multiple times in the course of this book saying absolutely not. Because he's a creep. He collects people and things.
Anybody
and power.
That is described as he collects things.
He's a collector.
Reminds me of that character in Guardians of the Galaxy that has all the heads and the people.
Right. Yeah. Like, he's going to have heads and glass jars. Yeah. He's super creepy. And Zayden, maybe we start listening to him at some point in time, but not today, because Violet and her siblings decide they are going to sneak out and go visit this guy by themselves without telling Zayden. This is what's going to bring them all back together as a family. Why they think that they're going to get away with this, I don't really know. But off they go. They have, they land at this guy's house and they have to share a secret because there's a bunch of Griffin Flyers there. This is obviously like a Griffin home. And we find out that they have some like mind reading powers and they have to share all these secrets. But the really only thing that matters here is that Zayden is there and he is pissed.
Yes, he's angry. Yep.
I'd be angry too.
Yep.
Told you 400 times.
No.
Don't come to this place.
Yep.
They roll up. Okay. Surprise, surprise, Zayden is there. What's even funnier is that as they go into the house, Zayden seems real familiar with his surroundings. And it's like, why do you know all about this weird collector guy's house? Like, you're walking around like you own the place. And the reason he knows all about the weird collector guy's house is because dun, dun, dun...
It's his ex-girlfriend's dad.
Uncle.
Yeah.
Our girl Kat.
Uncle.
Yeah. Our girl Kat, everyone's favorite menace of this book, lives in this house, and Zayden dated her, and that's how he knows his way around. And shit is awkward. Yeah, yeah. Violet and Zayden have a nice fight. Shocking, shocking, shocking. They have an argument. And they storm away and they're all going to get dressed for this dinner that they all have to sit through.
Yeah. They thought that they were going to just be able to go show off the lightning, get what's needed and leave.
But we have to sit through
the guy's like, no. Right. No, no, no. That's right. Not how we do things here.
We have to sit through the world's most uncomfortable dinner party. They get dressed up. Everyone looks super hot. Kat looks super duper hot. Violet feels super duper insecure. That should really be the name of this entire book. And there's also tension because we have Mira, who's like this bad bitch writer, and she's sitting with Griffin Flyers. They've fought each other, like on like on the Mira's battlefield. Mira's
been told forever that the Griffin Riders are the problem and is now coming to grips with that. They might not necessarily be allies, but they're not the problem.
Right, right. So we're all kind of finding this out in real time. It's Violet's insecurity comes out, and Zayden, bless his heart, tells her how wonderful she is and how she has nothing to worry about, and they make up, and they make out. And finally, we are going to break up their little love fest. Karis breaks up their makeout sesh and is like, hey guys, let's go outside for the show. Like, what show? And he essentially has, like, I'm envisioning, like, a theater situation. Seems like there's, like, seating around, like, a big field. Almost like an arena.
Oh. Well, when I read it, which is not always helpful, because I don't always read everything.
Right.
I pictured them on, like, the balcony or, like, the veranda off of the dining room, and then this box just being brought onto the grass on the, like, below them.
Right, right. Oh, I thought it was, like, stadium seating that was, like, outside. Doesn't really matter. They all go outside to witness. Violet has to strike her lightning, and then supposedly he's just going to trade her for the luminary.
Yes.
This all seems, like, pretty suspiciously simple.
Yes.
And he tells her she has to go down alone. So I don't really understand why her siblings go with her, but they do. So she descends down. Mira and Brennan are like, oh, hell no, she's not going by herself. And they go with her. And instead of just striking the ground and showing off her lightning, they bring out a box. How are you envisioning this thing?
I envision it like a wardrobe.
Me too. Like a wardrobe on wheels is kind of what I'm seeing. Okay, so the chest is there, and everyone's like, this is really awkward. Yeah, and we find out that it's not just a regular box. This was the betrothal gift from Zayden's family to Karis's family.
For Kat, because they weren't just dating, they were engaged.
It was an arranged marriage. Yes, oh, right. And this super fancy box that has special powers was the engagement present, if you will.
Right.
We traded Kat for the box. Right.
Right, right, right.
Yeah.
Awkward.
Right, right, right. And Violet's afraid, but, because she still has no aim, but nothing really matters because the box opens and there was a hidden venom inside. And everyone's like, what the actual F?
Fuck are you doing?
Right. So all the siblings kind of jump in. Mira almost dies immediately. She thinks, like, I got this. And she pretty much almost unalives herself in 2 seconds. And
because this is the first instance that she's dealing with one.
I believe so, yeah. So
she doesn't know.
Right. And now, but she, so she thinks that she, and she does. She somehow shields them for, like, a second, which doesn't make sense because her power is not supposed to work in this house. And it's just, like, it's very chaotic. And what Violet winds up doing is she gets disarmed right away.
Shocker.
Right.
Are we shocked?
She gets disarmed by the venom right away. Now, it's pouring rain out.
Yes. And she's also in a gown.
She's in a gown.
She's in the ball gown. Right. Everyone's up there.
And she gets disarmed. And then the venom uses her knife that he's taken from her to stab the ground, because that's how they gather all their power.
Yes.
So he's gathering all the power from the ground. And in a stroke of genius, I'll give it to her, instead of trying to aim, she basically lightnings the ground and electrocutes him. My brain can't see pictures, and when things get chaotic like that, I just get a general sense of what happened.
Correct. Essentially, he touches the ground, and Violet's like, everyone, you have, like, because that's also how they kill, right? Is because they touch the ground, and you're touching the ground, they take your life force, and you die. That is also how the venom's power works. So she was saying how, yeah, because they would just drop dead. You would just see people dropping dead on the battleground. So she's like, you have to get off of the ground. So they end up, like, going back up the stairs.
Yes, and then, the sister and brother, her sister and brother get off the ground, and then she fries him via the ground. Yes, she electrocutes him.
Yes.
She does what we've all seen in like Final Destination movies. There's like a live wire in a bathtub and she fries this guy. He's dead. Now the fallout is that people are real pissed. And in an uncharacteristic move, Zayden only scares the shit out of Takaris. He doesn't kill him.
Right. Well, I think he probably also knows because we need that one thing.
Right. So he, I would have thought there would have been, like, I thought he would have really given him a good beatdown.
Yeah.
Kind of, I think, holds him hostage for, like, 5 seconds. And then we all are just like, okay, let's have cooler heads prevail and we're going to strike a deal here. And it's just, it's very odd. It's, like, very odd. So
maybe there's a little guilt for, like, dumping his niece.
Who?
Zayden.
I don't think so. She is a see you next Tuesday. I don't think he has any love lost for her.
God, Kat's so great though sometimes.
I like her.
I don't mind her. I don't hate her.
I hope she has a good redemption arc in Onyx Storm.
She starts getting one.
Yeah.
At the end of this book, so.
Yeah, yeah. So now, after this entire surprise attack, essentially, they're like, let's just sit down, figure out how we're going to get this luminary, what's the deal we're going to strike here, and get out of here. And it's funny, because Takaris, he essentially tells Violet, you know, how about you just stay here with me? And you could protect us from whatever is about to go down, which is hilarious because she can't aim her lightning.
Yeah.
And then when this is all done, when this is all over, I'll give you a private island that you could take everyone you love to and you could just live out your life in peace and bliss. I would have taken that deal in a heartbeat.
Private island? If there's one thing we haven't drilled in enough is Eileen's lack of allegiance to anything. No allegiance to a rebellion, if the world's falling apart.
If it was real, I would do the right thing. I'm confident in that. But if I was Violet under her circumstances of not being able to use her power and her bones breaking if you sneeze at her, I would take this offer into heavy consideration. But she does the right thing and she doesn't take it. So instead, they land on this deal where they have to take Zayden, Violet, and co. have to take the Griffin Riders back to the super secret Revolution House with them.
Uh-huh.
And train them and make them part of
the school and the, like, army.
Right. Right. They're going to unify this, which is an odd bargain. I don't really understand how that works for this guy, like, what he's really getting out of it, aside from, like, his people
being trained properly.
I guess that's what it is. So that seems pretty easy, but the real problem is that the Griffins, as we've heard before, can't fly as high as the dragons. So this entire crew is subjected to what sounds like the world's worst hike.
Yeah.
That's going to be 12 hours long from where they are at this guy's house back to the makeshift school.
Yeah. I was going to say, when does this happen? Because who's with them? Well, do they go right away or do they go back to the school to get more?
They get more people who meet them, because it's not just the group who went to the house. There are more people who meet them because Riddick is there.
Right. Riddick and Sawyer are there.
Right. So they all, I don't know, we should look that up, how they wind up together. But it does. It happens right away. They leave. I don't know if, I think they like radio them in because they also eventually get Brennan too when shit goes down. So they're communicating with them somehow.
Yeah.
And they start making what sounds like this awful hike for 12 hours.
Because the Griffins can't fly because of the altitude.
Right.
And so the Griffins have to walk. The Dragon Riders can't, the dragons don't fit in through this pass. So they have to be on foot.
Right.
And they pair up.
Right.
They pair off one Dragon Rider to one Griffin and Griffin Rider.
As a little get to know you.
Yeah. A little bonding exercise.
And off they go on. Yes. It's like a team bonding exercise up this mountain. And it kind of works for a minute because Violet gets paired up with Kat's BFF. And they're like chatting it up. And like we find out a few things and like it's just odd. You find out that their styles are so different. Like, they're kind of talking and about school and how they got to this point. And I think this is where we find out that the Griffin Riders, like, don't have to die to get a Griffin. Like, if a Griffin doesn't choose them, they just get to go back to school. Like, they don't all, like, and there's kind of this moment where they're looking at the Dragon Riders, like, the hell is wrong with you people? Like, what? Why? Right. What, yeah. For what reason? And that's the question I've been asking since the beginning of this book. Yeah. There's no reason for all of these ridiculous consequences for these children.
Yeah.
And so they are becoming a little bit, they're becoming friendly. And on this hike, we have another girl who is small like Violet, and she's a Griffin rider. So now we get to a point on this journey where there's essentially a big jump that they have to make. And Violet and this other girl are unsurprisingly too small to make the jump. So our everyone's favorite BFF, Riddick,
oh, bless him.
Right, sets up like a little boost swing with his sword so that they can hop on over. There's a trigger in there. There's some kind of like a landmine trigger that they can't touch.
Yeah.
So Violet goes first and she makes it over, but she breaks something. I can't even remember what because it's irrelevant. And the other girl goes and she plummets to her death, essentially, but not before also triggering the booby trap.
Bless her.
Yeah, it's not a great way to go. It's not a great way to be remembered. So this tiny Griffin rider dies and then unleashes this booby trap, which puts a bunch of arrows through Riddick.
Yeah.
So all hell breaks loose. And immediately we have Kat blaming Violet for maybe one of the few things in this book that I don't consider her fault.
Correct.
And it's kind of a melee. But in all of this, we also find out that there is a baby dragon that's been born at the new dragon hatchling grounds near the super secret spy school. So we have a baby dragon, we have Riddick with a bunch of bullets in him, we have a dead Griffin rider, and we have Violet with something broken.
Shocker.
Yeah, things have gone down the shitter like very, very fast. And they're only about to get worse because they're suddenly being attacked by Wyvern.
Yeah.
This all happens in the span of like 4 minutes. So the Wyvern come and we assume, we're led to believe that it's because somehow the Wyvern are in tune with the fact that this dragon has just hatched. That's the hypothesis that we have here. Don't worry, because Violet kills all the Wyvern. And we learn that if the hypothesis is true and the Wyvern actually came because they knew the baby dragon had hatched, the Wyvern and the Venom share essentially the same brain. So they're about to be a target.
Well, didn't we already know that? Didn't we already know that the Wyvern are, like, if you kill the Venom that created the Wyvern, the Wyvern
die? Right, but what I'm saying is, if the Wyvern knew that the baby dragon was there, then the Venom know as well.
Yeah.
So they're about to get lit up.
Yeah.
Is.
And they're like, we have to make it to the top of this ridge. We have to meet everyone. We have to get on our dragons, essentially.
Right, right. So I think Dane pops her whatever back into place, and they call her brother, the healer, who takes care of Riddick. And finally, everyone gets up this mountain, but not without casualties and without a lot of tension between these two groups of people. So we're back at school. Moral of the story is people are dying really fast, and the riders and the flyers can't get along. And Kat really super duper has it out for Violet.
Well, no shit.
It's Regina George status.
Truly,
like,
but like in the way you kind of love Regina George.
Right, right. She's funny. And now we start to learn about runes. 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 Runes.
You hear it when you say it, right? Do you hear it when you add the syllable? You hear the difference between runes and ruins, right?
Runes.
Yeah.
Runes.
I like that there's a melodic tone to runes.
And we start to learn about them, and I'm not going to lie to you, I don't understand what they are, but the definition given is they're like a weird woven magic that you can put into objects to magicify them. Either right away or at a later date, or maybe right away and at a later date. Some of them have a little magic. Some of them have a lot of magic.
I just gave Eileen a whole lesson about what runes are, and she's trying really hard to implement the information that I gave her. Runes are symbols, geometric symbols, that are woven with magic. Is really all you need to know. They can be
it's a not one-time all use. You need to know. Can anyone make them? How do you no, weave you need your to magic
have,
into no, them?
You need to have magic. You have to, well, that's the hardest part, is the taking a piece of your magic and putting them into it. That's like the hardest part about creating a rune. They can be multi-use. They can be single-use. They can be for protection. They can be for unlocking. They can be for a plethora of things. They rival... When Griffin riders become very well-versed in runes, they can rival many signets of the dragon riders. That's my input about runes.
I hear what you're saying, and I see that they're moving the story along, and I'm going to learn more about them in real life after this, because they just show up at a convenient time, and it's like suddenly we can make anything magic and we could make it do whatever we want.
They could always do it though. This was a skill that
the rebellion people had on their side.
That Zayden's people lineage. Could always do. It's part of it, it's like they're all in their structures. It's why Zayden's house still exists.
Right.
Because it was like they were carved into the architecture of.
But it just feels like a very powerful magic to have and then to have lost anyway.
Correct.
Why couldn't you have made runes to kill dragons? Or to kill Venon?
I don't know. Maybe we'll find out, sissy. This might be a conspiracy theory you're coming up with.
You know I love a good conspiracy theory.
I do know that, and that's why I'm saying you're asking the right questions. The point is that it's new to these people. It's new to the writers because it was lost. It was a lost history.
It's a lost art that they're now trying to bring back in this class of like runes 101. Violet sucks at it. She basically doesn't understand it the same way I don't understand
Correct.
It.
Oh, you and Violet are a little similar.
Yeah, one and the same. But our girl Kat is really good at them.
Really good at them.
And we find out that Zayden is also really good at them.
Which
and
makes sense.
He was subtly trying to teach Violet about them like the whole way through. She wasn't really, I don't think, picking up on the messages, but he couldn't tell her flat out about them because they are illegal.
Yes.
He put one in her knife, which is how they got out of the interrogation room. And there's a bunch of other ones. Like, there's some... He has a really fancy one from Liam's mom.
So, Liam's mom made, or Liam's dad, wove together runes for all the rebellion children to protect them against dragon fire.
Right. I didn't know if that was separate from the one he had. That's just his one. They all have them. I thought he had a fancy one and then all the rebellion kids had their own. All the rebellion kids have a dragon fire protecting rune given to them by Liam's parents who were like real good at making runes.
Yes.
Okay. And then we're in a fight club. We're in a fight club because the leadership of this new makeshift school is going to make everyone, they're going to unify the flyers and actually put them into the army, into the squads. And once that happens, they're not allowed to fight anymore. But everyone senses the tension because they all hate each other. And the administration of this makeshift super secret spy school is basically like, you guys get one day to call each other out. Beat the shit out of each other, and then we got to move on. They're like, we don't want to hear it anymore. Take it outside. One time only. And then we have a war to win. So our girl Kat challenges Violet.
Yes.
And Violet wins the physical fight, but not before Kat can use her mental powers to mess with Violet. Yeah. And this is the worst case scenario for our heroine, Violet. Mental powers. I can't think of a worse situation than she could have been in. Because this girl just starts to play with her already fragile, already insecure mind. And just starts picking away at her whatever is already on her brain.
Yeah. Because it's like she can She doesn't have mind control, but she can, like, heighten whatever you're already feeling.
She senses your weaknesses, and yes. She can, which, like...
And she can magnify them.
Right. Which I have that power a little to myself. I just want to let you know.
Wow, okay.
Yeah.
Not only is she now a fantasy book reader, my sister has powers. As a victim of them my entire childhood, I can tell you that they are actually true.
I'm just saying that I can identify with Kat's ability to do that because I don't use it anymore. And I only use it when it's really necessary in life. But I feel her. I feel her. And it's just, Violet is already so insecure.
She's already a disaster and emotionally.
And like we're in this fight and Zayden brain to brain gives her the power, like gives her the green light, like finish her. Like again, Mortal Kombat style, finish her. But he tells her like, I think you're not going to be happy with yourself if you do that. But if you want to kill her,
go for it.
You have my full support, which is utterly insane. I mean, this is your ex-girlfriend. Like, she's not a murderer. She's a mean girl. What do we, like, think of that. Break that down in your head.
Yeah. Maybe he knew she wasn't gonna do it, and he was just trying to support her. I don't think he would.
We cannot support and coddle this girl anymore. We cannot support and coddle this girl anymore because we're watching the results of that. We're watching it. I have to read it. I have to use my brain and I can't. We have to stop coddling Violet.
Got it.
Right. So he tells her, yeah, you can murder her, but then he rips her off. He rips Violet off of her, like essentially saying,
never mind, I changed my mind.
Well, no, you would have, I think you would have regretted this decision. And now after this, we have the iconic scene of he takes Violet, he's trying to calm her down. They're fighting. Are they not fighting? I don't really know. And then we have the iconic Iron Flame scene of my house, my chair, my woman. I'm not going to go into it. If you haven't read the book, just read it. Do yourself a favor. It's iconic. We get it. It solidifies Zayden's top tierness.
This is like also, I think, the thing that like one of the scenes that makes it on the smut list.
Oh, yes.
This is one of those scenes that is just so, it's like the most detailed. It's the most, it's one of the more intense.
Yeah, it's the smuttiest scene in the whole book.
It's the smuttiest scene in the whole book. For sure.
And he's like very possessive and very hot about it. And he's just very Daddy Zayden. And somehow this, though, turns into an argument. Only Violet could take that and make it annoying. And that she does. Finally, Zayden tells her, because, like, I'd be pissed, too. Like, I've done everything in my power to calm you the fuck down. Literally. Okay?
Yeah.
I've done everything to chill you out. You need to hear the truth. And the truth is, she has no mind power over you. Kat has no actual mind power over you. He explains to her, she can only amplify what you're already feeling.
Right.
So knock it off. Quit being an insecure brat. And get a hold of yourself.
Right.
Did I cover it? I think I did.
So that about covers it.
Right. That about covers it. And he gives her a knife that he tells her is like against Kat's power, but I think it's bullshit. I think that's like telling a little kid like you're invisible if you know what I mean?
No, I don't think so, because I think we see it. I think we see Kat try to do it and get frustrated.
Oh, okay.
That Violet isn't being affected.
I thought he
No, I don't think it's a placebo effect.
I thought he had so had it with her. He was like, here, this magical unicorn will protect you from the monsters under your bed.
No.
And then because there's no actual monsters under your bed, as a 5-year-old, you think that the magical unicorn is protecting you.
No. I think it actually worked.
But I thought that was just because Violet had finally...
No.
Oh, see?
I don't think so. I don't think a person like Violet... I don't think a character like Violet could ever not be insecure. I think there's always a doubt of insecurity forever and always. I think it's what some people find endearing about her.
Do you feel as though we are ostracizing most of the population, the already small population of people who might listen to a podcast about this book by shitting on it?
So I've been telling you this since we did Fourth Wing and we had to redo Fourth Wing because you sounded so annoyed about it the entire time.
Because it's like there's already only such a slim.
We've only got 15 subscribers.
If you really like Violet, do you not think this is funny?
That's a really fair point. I would say that because this isn't a Fourth Wing podcast.
Right.
People could just skip any Iron Flame, any Fourth Wing, any future Onyx Storm, and just go to the other ones.
But here's the thing. I can't talk about books we could never make a Throne of Glass episode.
How is that possible?
I don't think one thing in those books is funny because I think they're perfect.
But maybe that's where I'm going to shine through. And the podcast was over before it began.
And that was our last episode. Yeah, I just wonder how that's going to work.
So you're not going. So we're never going to review. We're never going to do a synopsis of.
First of all,
books we like.
I would need. Well, I like. I love ACOTAR.
Uh huh.
We did it.
Uh huh.
I just think certain things in it are funny, and annoying.
And you're saying there's nothing funny or annoying in Throne of Glass?
Absolutely not.
Wow. I might need to read this, and that might be my first synopsis.
It's a literary masterpiece.
It might be. That might be my first synopsis.
I will get mad. This is what I'm saying. So I'm wondering now,
is this podcast sustainable?
Well, all right, we'll figure that out. Moving
we'll
on.
That bridge when we get
we'll
to.
Cross that bridge when we get to. I mean, we're up to 15 subscribers.
Yeah,
that's pretty good. Anyway, to Kat and Violet's both combined distress, their squads are put together, as if we didn't see that coming. So this is where Violet takes her balls drop, finally, and she dresses Kat down in front of everyone to everyone's amusement. And I think this is the scene where Kat tells her, you know that little thing that Zayden does with... had she said it before? That thing that Zayden does with his fingers? You can thank
you're
me
welcome.
For it?
You're welcome.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then what does she say? Violet has, like, almost a good line.
No, she doesn't say anything right away. She gets... heated about it. Wait, no, I think... Doesn't that line come before...
That's what she had said it before, but in this, now, because Violet's, like, telling her about herself in front of everyone, and she says something really
smug.
She says
something along the lines of, that thing that you taught Zayden to do with his finger, thank you.
Right.
Or something. Like, she thanks her for it or
and
something.
And it's so cringy. She thinks it's so cool, and we're supposed to think it's so cool, but it's just...
It's all cringy.
It's all ultra cringe. But she gives her the patch and she's like, you're part of the group now. And
it is what it is.
It is what it is. And everyone is like laughing like, haha, Violet finally won. And I'm like, okay, all right. That's fine.
It's easy to win a battle you've created in your head.
Right. Right.
It's easy to fix a problem you created.
Right. Right.
On so many levels.
And we also have to find out where that scene comes in where the quote-unquote cat-fighting knife that I thought was a placebo. Because I don't have that in here. I totally forgot that part. In my head, I want it to be a placebo, so I probably glossed right over the scene where it works.
You know who's not going to listen to this ahead of time? Rose. Rose is not going to listen to this ahead of time. We will still send it to Michaela, because... Michaela's a really great sounding board for
she's too nice. We can't send it to Rose because she'd be like, you two idiots need to stop wasting your
time. Michaela always supports us no matter how bad it is, and hashtag grateful.
And no matter how much she loves Violet. She loves Violet.
Michaela is a Violet lover, and she still continues to listen to and support our podcast. So therefore, it might be a blood thing, you know, sharing some form of... blood relation, but God bless her. She still supports us.
Violet is also still trying to translate these journals, books that everyone needs to figure out how
Does she
to...
have both, or she still only has the one?
She still has the one.
Okay.
She still has the one, and she's trying to figure it out, because in this journal book, it's going to teach them how to fire up this ward, and she really thought she had it when she made everyone... cut their hands open and do a blood oath, but she didn't quite have it right. And the and because it's like a dead language, one of the only people who could help her is Dane.
Yes.
And he...
Because of his dad.
Right, right. And he has... So he's helping her, and they're in the library, and yada, 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 and he has a small redemption moment. And I know, unpopular opinion, I hope he gets a redemption arc in this book. I hope him and Kat... him and Kat could get it on.
He is on the upswing for me.
He has to
be. He's on the upswing. He's got to come around. We need her best friend, her childhood best friend, to not be a little shit. Like, we need that.
Right. And I don't think he was ever super malicious. But
he was a little shit. You can be a little shit and not malicious.
And you know how no one has picture... no people in books ever have faces in my head?
He's the only one that does?
Yes, and do you know who he is?
Tell me.
Dean from Gilmore Girls.
Is it because his name's Dane?
No. Well, that might have something to do with it. But that doesn't look like him to you?
Maybe. No, it doesn't.
Really? He has that, like, bowl haircut. Honestly,
Dane reminds me of one of the guys I work with.
Yeah, so Dane tells Violet, if you're really in love with Zayden, he's cool by me. I'm going to let everything go. I'm going to trust you. And they have a moment. He apologizes to her as well for, like, everything that happened. And I just hope...
I hope he keeps going on this trajectory and doesn't take a turn.
I didn't think of that until right now, but I hope him and Kat get it on.
Yeah.
I could see it for them. And I feel like she would, you know, put him in his place.
Yeah.
Ooh. Ooh. Maybe. In 8 hours, maybe my dreams will come true. Yeah. So they're working on the books. They haven't quite figured it out yet. They're close because they were close, you know, with the first translation she thought she had. And they're kind of spending all these hours together doing that. We also find out that there have been some other Venin attacks all over, and that they know that they're about to be attacked where they are. They start, that's why they're trying to get the wards up where they are, because they know that because the dragon was born, the Venin are coming. And they can't really... They know that they're coming soon, and they know that they're defenseless. And Zayden is very broody about it, which is understanding because it's his house and it's all of his friends and they're about to die. And Violet is like, don't worry, I can fix this. Here's a piece of chocolate cake. And then
I'm picturing the Trunchable chocolate cake in Matilda.
Right, and then she eats half of it. She doesn't even give him the whole piece of cake. She doesn't even bring a piece for herself. She's like, here, I'm sorry all your friends in your house you're going to be ruined. Everyone's going to die. I know you love cake. And it's like, oh my God, it is true love. Now back to the books. Now after the cake eating scene, we go back to the books. And we realize that in the first translation... Somehow Violet screwed up, I think, the words for riders and dragons. So she was making the riders shed their blood on the stone, but it's actually the dragons that need to power the ward. You would think also that since she found this out, what would you do? You would, like, run right to the ward and turn it on because they're about to be attacked. But she's having this whole moral back and forth because she realizes that once they power the ward, the Griffin Riders are going to lose their magic. Because it's dragon magic, and dragon magic, you know, nullifies all other magic. I still don't understand how, like, she just figured this out now. Shouldn't this have come up when we decided to take all of these people and bring them back here?
Yeah. Agreed. No looking ahead.
So, also, like, that's unfortunate for them, but at the end of the day, this is kind of to save the world. So is there really a discussion that needs to happen?
Right.
But she does. She sits everyone down. She sits her whole squad down, which includes Kat and that whole crew. And she pitches this idea to them, like, hey, we could fire up the war, but you're going to lose your magic. And then she offers them some kind of consolation prize of, like, rocks and arrows that have magic in them. I don't know. And the Griffin Riders are... They're real salty about it, which I guess I understand, but also, like, what are we talking... Why is this even a conversation? This was a courtesy.
Yeah.
This was an absolute courtesy. And she doesn't, I don't think Zayden knows yet. I don't think she, you know, he finds out until he comes back. But this should have been priority number one. Like, how, we're stopping to take votes about this? It's just, it's bizarre and it doesn't add up to, well, not a lot of this doesn't add up. We also, next we have the scene where Violet has a dream where the Venom tells her that, you know, you'll both turn for love. That's the quote. I feel like in all of these, like, theories people have about this book, like, I don't hear that come up enough.
Yeah.
It seems pretty cut and dry to me based on the way this book ends and what we're going into, but neither here nor there. And she's still kind of puttering around. She wakes up from her dream and she's still puttering around with this big moral decision about these people losing their power. And when Zayden comes back from whatever mission he was off on, she tells him, hey, by the way, I know how to power the wards. And he's like, fuck yeah, let's go. And she's like, hold on. We need to weigh out our pros and cons here. And he's looking at her like she has three heads in my head. And she's like, all right, we'll turn them on. But Rhiannon set up this, you know, rune field trip for us. So we'll just turn the ward on after we complete that. What do we do? What? Is it me?
When you put it like this, no, you're right. But I wasn't as annoyed by it when reading it.
Yeah. Hindsight, 2020. So off they go to this rune-finding mission, field trip, test, whatever they call it. It's basically like a practice exercise. And they go into a bunch of, it's like a cave. And, or a tunnel. It's like a girl pal trip, too. It's like all the girls are together. It's like a gal pal trip to a cave to play with runes.
Mm-hmm.
Am I spelling that out correctly?
Yeah.
So they're all chatting it up, having girl talk while they walk through this tunnel to find these magical items that could be literally anything. And we realize that Violet, this is kind of where it comes up, that Violet should be getting a second signet. I don't think it's mentioned before this, because she has two dragons. And the only other people that get a second signet is if a dragon bonds a rider. I wrote this out specifically because I knew I was going to forget. If a dragon bonds a rider who's related to the previous rider.
It has to be
within the same bloodline.
Yeah, it has to be direct lineage.
Right. So Violet, all of a sudden, ding, 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 in this moment, she puts it all together. I don't know how no one else has put this together. That Zayden must have a second signet.
Well, because the reason why no one else knows is because because to the world, Scale was his, like, uncle or his great uncle's dragon. When in reality, only she and Zayden and whoever else knows that it was his grandfather.
Why is that a secret?
Because dragons aren't supposed to bond with a direct lineage.
But how does no one know his lineage? Like, how was that a secret?
Mm-hmm. He dies during training. His grandfather...
It just seems like these people keep a lot of records.
His grandfather doesn't make it out of the quadrant.
Okay. All right. Well, ding, ding, ding. Violet figures out right there in that moment that Zayden has two signets. Now, just to circle back a little bit, the inane argument that we have in the second half of the book is similar, but not the same as the inane argument we have in the entire first half of the book. In the second half of the book, Zayden basically says to Violet, over the course of these pages, I will tell you whatever you want to know. You just have to ask me. Which is what Violet has supposedly been waiting for the entire time. However, Violet clams up in part two of the book, and even though she has this power to learn anything she wants to learn, she doesn't want to mess up the status quo of her relationship, so she doesn't ask any questions. You thought the first half argument was the most obnoxious thing you could ever experience on the pages of a book.
Ding, ding, ding.
In actuality, this is 100 times more frustrating to witness and be a part of, because she could have everything she wants, but she's choosing to live in ignorant bliss, which is foreshadowing now when we hear about this second signet. So while they're all on this girl's adventure in the tunnel for magic runes, out of nowhere, Varys's psychotic dragon is in the cave tunnel.
Yes.
Okay. So a fight ensues, obviously. We're fighting the dragon. She's trying to talk to Taryn. He's listening to her, but I believe he can't get in. He's too big.
He doesn't fit.
He does not fit into the cave because he's a big, fat dragon. And by fat, I mean jacked. So a fight ensues, and in this fight, Violet saves Kat. Enter Andarna, who has her badassery moment of the book, saves the day, kills Varys's one-eyed dragon, and it's badass. Like, this is her moment. Yeah. This is her moment to shine.
She shines.
Right. She shines. Taryn's all salty because he can't fit in, and it's a whole fight. Violet, in this scuffle, loses her precious conduit, the only thing that can help her wield her lightning, which she should have had in a zippered pocket or something like that. Like, was it just in her hand?
Correct. Also, like, it's an orb.
She loses it. Yep, she loses it. I just said this to you, but I feel like in this exchange is where we learn about Sloane's signet being a siphon.
Okay.
I don't know if that's right. That's going to really piss people off. I don't know if that's right. But by the end of the book, we know she's a siphon, and I feel like it comes out in that cave experience.
Okay.
Okay. No backup there. None whatsoever.
I have absolutely no idea, so...
Okay. That's fine. That's fine. So they make their way back to the house. Violet is getting treated for one of her various injuries. Yeah, that she received during this latest altercation. And while she is in the medic's office, essentially, Zayden storms in. And he is super pissed that Violet would have sacrificed herself to save Kat. That she was so dumb to save her. And she spins some bullshit about why she did it. But essentially, she comes up with, she's in your care and she's the heir, and you would have been in big trouble if she died. She gets real snarky, and Zayden has pretty much had it with her bullshit. And is like, are you finally going to ask me about the deal I have with your mom that you haven't been talking about this whole time, or no? And they're both pissed, but Zayden is right. And he says to her, like, you have trust issues. Like, you're not asking the questions that you want to know. And then she's like, okay, fine. What's your second signet?
I imagine his face just going blank.
But like, yeah, that really just escalated from 0 to 60.
Yeah.
She is hell-bent on just...
ruining this.
Right. Yeah. Right. And before they can get to what his second signet is, before he has the chance to answer, they're under attack. And they're under attack because she's had the answer of how to turn this wardstone on for days now, and has chosen to have meetings and go on secret cave adventures for fun that really meant nothing, and do all these other things before actually turning it on and protecting the area where they are.
Yeah.
So in this moment, she's like, oh, shit. We got to go turn this thing on. But they keep fucking fighting the whole way to the ward. They get there and she's like, we need 6 dragons. 6 dragons breathe on the thing. And suddenly the light goes on and we have protection.
It's the six breeds of dragons.
Right.
6 colors of dragons.
Right. So yes, we need one of each. They breathe on the thing and suddenly, ta-da, we have this protection that we should have had a week ago. They keep arguing. Now everyone's going to watch. Everyone's kind of just going to stand around and watch because now they're like a shitload of wyvern are flying at them. And at the worst possible time, she remains so relentless. She wears this man down. And finally, he's like, I can read minds, okay? Like, we might be about to die. I can read minds. Are you happy? Why didn't I tell you? Oh, because it'll get me killed.
Well, he doesn't tell her because he shouldn't have to. And he shouldn't tell... What he has isn't the one that gets people killed. He doesn't have the mind reading where he can...
Yes, he does.
No.
He does.
Okay.
What kind of mind readings do you think he has?
It's he can intention.
He can read intentions. It would get him killed. The only reason he doesn't get killed is because he goes to Scale and is like, SOS, before this drives me crazy, I need you to teach me how I can hide it.
Got it.
It definitely would get him killed.
Okay.
Oh, I hate when you do that.
Okay. I'm sorry. I don't know what else to say. You are correct.
You are annoying. So, they're having this exchange. She's salty about it, but hold on, because the Wyvern are flying right at their faces. And everyone's bracing themselves, and we're all panicking. And as they're about to attack, we realize that the ward actually worked, and they're bouncing off of it. They can't get through. And we have a collective sigh of relief, right? Oh my god. But we learn that something is not quite right with the wards, because the Griffin Flyers still have their powers, which is not supposed to happen. After this, they don't really get much time to breathe and be excited about their success, because they find out that Melgrin wants to meet with Violet and co, but not with more than two marked ones. So he wants to meet with her, but he clearly wants to not have that third, because he can't see the future if there's three of them, correct?
Correct.
Yeah, so it's just Violet plus two. And there's a little bit of back and forth, but she shows up anyway, and her mom is there as well. And Melgrin, who can supposedly see the future, tells them that the Venon are going to attack Samara, which is that other military base. That's the one where they were previously stationed with Mira and Zayden.
Yes.
And he asks for them to come for backup, like to come join them. And then if you do this, we'll win, and then we'll give you guys your independence. The rebellion will have their own, independence. So, formerly dead, Brennan is also there, and gives his mom an absolute stroke by being alive, and simultaneously tells them that they could take their offer and, like, kick rocks.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're not doing it. We're not helping you. We don't want your independence. And also, ta-da, I'm not dead. So, before they can exit the meeting, Mama Sorengale grabs Mira and Violet, girl talk, and tells them real quick, by the way, your ward is bullshit, because the journal that you have, the person who wrote it, the founder of whatever he was an asshole, and it's all full of lies. If you don't believe me, go check the supposedly dead wyvern that crashed into the ward. Crack him open, do a little impromptu autopsy, and come back and tell me if I'm lying. So, and she also gives them the other journal, which they had, the leadership had confiscated
right
when they all got, fucked up the first time. So it's written in another...
I think she only gives it to them because no one in their group can do anything with it.
Right. So she gives it to them and off they go. They take it back, but it's, of course, written in like another
dead language.
And when they get back, they do cut up the wyvern corpses, and surprisingly, they pop back to life. She was not lying. The mom was not lying. This was a ruse. The Wyvern were not dead. And Violet lightnings them all to death. And then in the face of all this uncertainty, her and Zayden, thank God we didn't see it coming, they make up, and Zayden promises he'll never read her brain. Violet wants to take the peace offering. She's like, let's go fight with them. Get our independence. Let's move on. Brennan says, absolutely not. And there's some back and forth there. I don't know really why he's so against it, but I mean, he winds up being right. But do you think he knows?
I don't know. There's something about Brennan that is shifty to me.
Yes.
Personally, someone who can lie for 6 years about being dead, knowing that like your family is like mourning you.
Yeah. Yes, I agree.
There's something shifty about that I don't trust. So does he know? Sure. But why? How?
Right. Right. Violet gets a new conduit so she could be maybe useful again. We don't know. Maybe. We're going to see. But she gets another little orb. And It's Violet who realizes that Melgrim was actually wrong. They're not, the battle isn't going to be at Samara. It's going to be at the school, at Beskayeth. And he can't see it because all of them, like, there's too many marked kids. It clouds, like, what he's able to see. Yeah. Like, he can't see what's really happening. So they saddle up everyone and race back to the school. And Violet tells her mom, hey, listen, I figured it out. And her mom is not really believing her. But she does agree, finally, to go check on the wards at the school at the behest of Dane. She doesn't believe Violet. She only goes and checks them when Dane steps in. And that pretty much tells you everything you need to know about Violet's mom.
Yeah, she's the worst.
We both have said it from the
episode two.
Right.
When we started talking about her. She's the fucking worst.
Right. So we have this group that went back, and they didn't take with them any first years, and they don't take the Griffin Riders with them, and Brennan doesn't go with them either because he's, like, pissy.
Yeah.
So they have not their whole crew, but a lot of them are there. Dane tells Mama Sorengil, no, she might be onto something. She's like, all right, fine, kind of rolls her eyes, but, like, we'll go look at your stupid boards just so I can prove you wrong. But ding, 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 Violet was actually right. The guards are all dead, the ones that are supposed to be watching the ward, and everyone's favorite, Jack fucking Barlow, is there with his equally evil dragon.
Jack fucking Barlow. When I read this, I pictured... Do you remember the movie Who Framed Roger Rabbit?
Yes.
When the bad guy, Christopher Lloyd?
Yes. No. Yes.
When he turns into...
It is Chris. In my head, his last name is Lloyd. But is his first name Christopher?
I don't know.
Carry on.
When he turns into the cartoon villain.
It is Christopher Lloyd.
And his voice gets really high pitched and he gets those crazy red eyes.
Yes. Yes. Literally.
That is what I picture Jack Barlow. Mm-hmm. The red eyes because he's Venom. The crazed look on his face.
Right. So Jack's crazy ass kills his own dragon.
Slits his dragon's throat, I believe.
Right.
Is the move.
To destroy the Wardstone.
Is that why he does it, or does it prove that he no longer is tied to his dragon?
Well, that's how the stone dies. Unless something else has happened. The stone is kaput after that.
Okay.
And he doesn't die because he's invented. Because right. In regular circumstances, if your dragon's dead, you're dead too. Yeah. So we learn that
Venom
he's not that going little, down. Yeah. He's invented. He's alive. Dragon's dead. And we also learn here that this is what Nolan was doing, like, trying to heal him the whole time. I don't know if we knew that before.
Well, no, because we knew that Nolan was bringing him back to life because he died, like, because we were under the assumption Nolan was trying to heal him for an inch from his death after the cliffside collapse.
Right.
But it was because he's Venom.
So, and then Zayden just knocks him out, so they don't get much more information than that. Violet's mom kind of kicks into general mode and starts making a battle plan with, like, the limited kids that they have here. Because remember, everyone else has left to go to this
Samara
battle that they think is going to happen that isn't happening. So she's there with, like, limited forces there, the limited kids that they have. Dane reads Jack's brain at this point, puts his hands all over his face because he loves to touchy-touchy some face. And he sees that there's lures all over the campus and that a crap load of Wyvern are coming. And Melgren's not going to make it back in time.
Right.
And we go into this awkward time where, like, they have this time to wait.
Yeah.
Like, they know that they're coming, but it's like, get some sleep. Like, who is going to be able to sleep? Like, they have, like, a day.
Yeah, which is like, it's like not enough time to get all of the lures that they have.
Right.
It's not enough time. It's like... Not enough time to do anything, but too much time to, like, kill.
Sit around. Yeah. When you watch World War II movies, and that, like, there was these, like, time periods where, like, you were just waiting to be attacked. And it's, like, so, it's so crazy to me.
It makes my anxiety, like...
Right. Violet wants to try to protect the busted stone, and her mom is like, no, you're so dumb. Like, why would I listen to you? And it's like, well... Give her some credit. She was
right.
She was right about the whole thing to begin with, but we're not going to listen to her. And while everyone's just supposed to chill out and wait to die, Violet and Dane, like, might as well get it on one more time, but they get totally cock-blocked by Brennan because he shows up with a bunch of the first years. So, like, the kids who were children and the flyers. And Brandon knocks on the door. He's like, real sorry, but I'm here now. I'm going to try to fix the stone. As the battle starts to come, everyone's having their like little sappy moments and yada, yada, yada. We're saying goodbye. Good luck. And Jacinia stays, right? So Jacinia, a lot of the scribes have left, but Jacinia stays. She's going to keep reading that. She's like, and they're telling her, like, leave. There's nothing for you to do here. She's like, no, I'm going to keep at this journal.
She's one of the few, people who know the language of the second journal.
Right, right. I'm not leaving. And she's just going to work on that while everyone is slaying each other in the courtyard. Andarna also refuses to leave. So the battle begins. And again, I suck at describing battle scenes. But basically, Violet's mom makes a storm to help them, which helps the dragon riders, but doesn't help the Griffin riders because they're kind of shit in the rain. But everything, it's not really looking good, and this battle starts. Rhiannon saves Violet's life at one point. Sawyer, sadly, loses his leg. Kat is like, oh, wow, you guys don't really suck. And it's just, it's mayhem. One of those, it's mayhem. It's absolute chaos. Brennan, in the midst of all this, does fix the stone. Like, he repairs the actual stone, but there's no power to it. So it's in one piece, but it's defunct. It's paperweight. So Andarna saves Violet. She comes out. She was like hidden. And we see that she's black when she saves Violet. Correct?
No. This is where Rose yells at me all the time. Andarna. Violet tells Andarna to go hide.
Leave. Right.
Mm-hmm. She said, go hide. And Andarna says something along the lines of, oh, I can do that. I'm really good at hiding.
Right.
So there's a point where Violet is in need of assistance.
Yeah.
And Andarna comes out and she describes her as a boulder.
Right. She was black. She went into the rocks.
She blends in with the boulders.
Yes.
Her coloring is translucent almost.
Gotcha.
Her color is not a distinct color.
I thought it could, like, take on other colors.
It's correct. So, like, she's not a black dragon.
She in that moment, she appears as black, correct. Was what I was trying to say.
Yes, yes, yeah. Yes. But she is not a black dragon.
Right. She's hidden in the rocks.
Yes.
Right.
She's hidden within the boulders, but in that moment when she emerges, Violet sees that her color changed when she got away from the boulder.
Right.
Is what I wanted to make the distinction.
I got you. Yeah, that's what I was envisioning, but not saying.
She wasn't a black dragon like Tarn.
Right.
Her color morphs with her surroundings.
Yeah, 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 yeah. She, what's the word for it? Like what a chameleon does?
Camouflage?
No. Well, yes. Okay. But yeah, so she emerges and she comes out and she roasts some venom. Which is badass, and she saves her life. We also find out in this exchange that they don't want to kill Violet. The Venin are under strict orders to capture her alive.
And bring her, yeah. Bring her to their
leader.
Yeah.
Which, we don't know why, but one would argue that that's a pretty important point. During this melee, Jacinia, our girl, figures out the journal and saves the day. And she's like, it says we need 7 dragons to fire up the wardstone. But there's only 6 kinds of dragons. Or are
dun,
there?
Dun, dun,
dun. Dun, dun, dun. Or are there?
In that moment.
In that moment, Violet realizes that Andarna
is her own breed of dragon.
The 7th dragon species. So she figures this all out right quick, and they all head to the stone. Violet is going to try with all of her power to restore this stone, and she's about to die. She's about to, like, what do they call it? Burn out.
Yes.
Trying to power this stone. And her mom, in, like, her one noble act of life, throws Violet off the stone.
Yes.
Uses Sloane and her siphoning abilities and is able to be the conduit that they need, repair the stone, and she dies doing it.
Only thing she's ever done well as a mother.
Right, yeah. So her and her dragon are dead, but the stone works. Even trade, in my humble opinion. during all this, Violet can feel, like, during on their tug, right, on their bond, that Zayden's in some shit.
Yeah.
She can feel that he's struggling in down in the battlefield, but she doesn't, like, what does she do? She's like, oh, he'll be fine. Like, she doesn't immediately react, I guess because they're in this chaos of...
They're in war.
They're in war and saving... There's only
so much she can do.
I guess. Yeah. So when this all ends and the ward goes up, she's like, let me go check on him. And she's super relieved because he's alive, I think, you know, and he seems to be okay until she realizes that his eyes are a little red.
Well, she sees that he's one-to-one with the Venon.
Right.
And then she sees him...
No, she's... I don't think she sees the fight. I think maybe she sees, like, something from up high. But then when she gets down, like, she's just super happy that he's, like, she's like, oh my God, you're alive. And they, like, run to each other. And she's like, I was afraid. He's like, well, you should be. And then dun, dun, dun.
Gotcha.
He's a Venon.
Hmm. Okay. I thought she saw, but maybe that's just what I pictured.
Maybe she sees something, like, from...
Because doesn't he say, like... Doesn't he say something, like... Doesn't he say something in regards to, like, I can't leave her or something?
Well, at the end chapter in his POV, that's when you get the conversation between him and the sage.
Him and Jack.
And, well, in his POV...
Oh, gotcha. His conversation with Jack at the end is the epilogue.
Yes.
Gotcha.
Yeah, so, or I don't remember that. But at the end, we get his POV, which is the actual fight with the...
There it is. That's what I'm thinking. Okay.
She's just like, oh my God, you're alive. And then she's like, I was so scared. And he was like, well, you should be, bitch. Like, I'm...
Look at my eyes, soulless, bitch.
Yeah, look in these red eyes.
These allergies. It's
not just allergies. Which really destroyed a lot of people's hearts.
Yes, it did.
That moment, yeah. Mm-hmm. It killed a lot of people. A lot of people didn't take that news very well at all.
No.
And that's how the main book ends. And then we get the bonus POV Zayden chapter at the end. And there should be more POV Zayden chapters. But I feel like they can't write them because it would be a lot of his internal monologue about how annoying his girlfriend is. And that would really ruin this entire series for a lot of people. But we see in that the Venon, the sage, which is like the general, taunts Zayden into turning Venon to save Violet. He goads him into it. Basically alludes to the fact that he doesn't have another choice.
Option, yeah.
Yeah. And...
The only way he can't die... The only way he was gonna survive this battle with the sage is if he drew power.
Right, right. And then in this chapter two, and this is what really gets me, like, he's in bed with Violet. And this girl, for all of her trust issues and for all of her moaning, you're going to go to bed with a demon who could kill you in your sleep?
Yes. Yes, yes. Yes. Correct. I'm with you on that. Yeah, 100%. What the hell are you thinking?
Right. And then, is it a bonus chapter of the epilogue? So then Zayden breaks out of bed and goes down to talk to Jack Barlow, who's in the dungeons. And he's like, yo.
What the fuck? What's the cure?
What's the cure? And Jack Barlow laughs in his face and is like, there isn't one, buddy. Welcome. Yeah. Welcome to being a Venon. Glad to have you on our side. And that's Iron Flame, part two. Iron Flame.
Iron?
Iron Flame. I'm glad we did this today because now I can read Onyx Storm.
Yeah.
Maybe tonight. Should I wake up at midnight and read? I don't know.
Yeah.
If I set my phone to Pacific time, do you think I'll get it 3 hours earlier?
No. No. Not right. That's not how time works.
I'm kidding.
You made a joke about not doing time math.
My time math sucks. It wasn't a joke.
I know.
Wasn't a joke.
I understand that now.
I don't know what else there is to say about the characters in this book. I think we've said it all. They're all the same ones. I have high hopes for Sloan and Onyx Storm. I have high hopes for Kat and Onyx Storm. And I have high hopes for Dane.
I do. Part of me really has high hopes for Dane as well.
I have said it once, but I'll say it here. If by the end of Onyx Storm, I like Violet, I'll do something.
You'll do a TikTok?
I'll make a TikTok.
You'll do a TikTok or an Instagram, just or an in case Instagram TikTok gets banned again.
Yeah, we don't know.
We have to really cover our bases.
I'll do something online. You'll do
some video.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Okay.
All right. That's good. We love that.
And then I think Michaela was like, but how will we know? And I'm like, well, my sister will know.
Oh, yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. I couldn't lie about it.
No.
I could not lie about
it. Bless her. She's not that great of a liar.
Are we going to do a bonus app? The people on our cousin's group chat want to know what our Onyx Storm content is going to look like.
I don't know.
Me either.
Haven't gotten there. It's a day-by-day situation.
Drop a bonus app, you know?
Oh, yeah, sure. Because getting the regular ones is just so easy.
I know.
That bonus content should be nothing to add.
Like, I just talk and then it's done. It's crazy.
Uh-huh. Meanwhile, I'm ready to stab myself in the eye. Spiciness level in this one increases for me.
What did I say the last one
You said 2.5.
Oh, I'll give this one 2.75.
Oh, wow. Okay. I think for the entire book, it's a 3.
Okay. Yeah.
I would say entire book. 3.
Okay. 2.75 for the whole book.
Yeah.